search engine Google is trying to change the way its news page handles press releases after some releases appeared on the site without being marked as such. Users can search Google News for recent stories from 4,500 news sites. 2 months ago, the site started including press releases along with the search results. Releases culled from PR Newswire and BusinessWire, the major distributors of releases in the United States, are marked as such on Google. However, releases appearing on sites like Yahoo News, Seafood.com and Semiconductor Business News were not marked in search results on Thursday. Nathan Tyler, a spokesman for Google, said that the listing of unmarked press releases was not intentional and that the company was working to ensure that all press releases are marked. Google includes press releases in Google News because we believe they are an additional resource that offers our users a valuable perspective on the genesis of a story, Tyler said. He noted that press releases only rarely show up on the front news pages of the site, which are built without human intervention by what is essentially a robot news editor. A federal judge on Wednesday threw out a lawsuit that challenged the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act by seeking permission for a Harvard student to probe internet filtering software used in schools and public libraries. The lawsuit was brought last summer by the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of Ben Edelman, a Harvard Law School student who has argued that such software often blocks far more than pornography and other objectionable sites. Edelman had asked the Seattle company called N2H2 for a list of sites its software blocks, but was rebuffed. He then went to court to seek permission to reverse engineer into H2's product, saying he needed court permission because the controversial 1998 law forbids the dissemination of information that could be used to bypass copyright protection schemes. N2H2 claimed that providing such information to Edelman would compromise trade secrets and that Edelman had no legal standing to be granted such permission because there was no imminent threat he would be sued. U.S. District Judge Richard Stearns agreed, writing in a ruling issued on Wednesday, that there is no plausible protected constitutional interest that Edelman can assert that outweighs N2H2's right to protect its copyrighted material from an invasive and destructive trespass. Chris Hansen, the ACLU attorney who argued the case, said the ACLU was discussing options for other ways to challenge the law. N2H2 spokesman David Burt said the company was pleased with the ruling. Belgium has begun introducing the country's first electronic identification cards. The Belgium government issued Java-based cards to residents in 11 cities last week, with the goal of eventually providing every Belgian resident over 12 years old with an electronic identification card. Sun Microsystems, which is providing the technology, said the EID project is the single largest government deployment of Java card technology in Europe. No date has been set for its completion. The credit card-sized card would include the same information as traditional Belgian identification cards, such as name, photo and date of birth, on an advanced Java-enabled chip. The card will allow Belgian citizens to authenticate themselves electronically in an easy and secure way whenever they access e-government services, said Jan de Plest, president of Belgium's Federal Information Communications and Technology Department. Citizens will also be able to use the card to apply their electronic signature to digital documents. Java-based card technology allows multiple applications to coexist on a single smart card, which can also act as a secure individual digital signature to applications, Sun said. Yahoo Japan and the Japanese Society for the Rights of Authors, Composers and Publishers announced on April the 3rd that they have reached a basic agreement on the interactive distribution of music on the internet. Yahoo plans to expand free services including distribution of music data and lyrics browsing via the company's internet service, Yahoo Japan. The agreement will call for Yahoo Japan to pay a royalty to Jazzrak and enable internet users to enjoy music for free without violating the copyright owner's rights. Complaints about fraud perpetrated online tripled in 2002, and auction fraud continues to be the most frequently reported offence, according to figures from the Internet Fraud Complaints Centre. The Complaints Centre, a site run by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the National White Collar Crime Centre, reported that it referred 48,252 fraud complaints to federal, state and or local law enforcement authorities last year. The year before, there were 16,775 referrals. The website not only offers a reporting mechanism for consumers to alert authorities of suspected criminal activity online, but also serves law enforcement agencies as a central repository for complaints related to internet fraud, working to quantify fraud patterns and provide data on current fraud trends. The report says that the total dollar loss from all referred fraud cases was $54 million. That's up from $17 million in 2001. Of course, most fraud cases go unreported, so undoubtedly the dollar value of internet fraud is much higher. For the third straight year, internet auction fraud was the most reported offence, comprising 46% of referred complaints. Non-delivery of merchandise and non-payment accounted for 31% of the complaints, and credit and debit card fraud made up nearly 12%. And if you ever had any doubts as to why you get so many Nigerian oil scam emails as spam, the reason is that it still works for the perpetrators. The IFCC report says that among victims who reported a dollar loss, the highest median losses were found among victims of the Nigerian letter fraud, $3,864. Plain old identity theft was second at $2,000. In cases where the perpetrator had been identified, nearly 4 in 5 were male, and over half resided in the states of California, New York, Florida, Texas, Illinois, and Pennsylvania. The IFCC says it processed an additional 36,920 complaints on computer intrusions, spam, child pornography, and other violations. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the FBI's Innocent Images Task Force, the National Infrastructure Protection Center, the Federal Trade Commission, and the U.S. Secret Service are regular recipients of IFCC complaint information. The UK's advertising watchdog has ruled that NTL's use of broadband to promote its cable internet service is misleading, even though it complies with Ofgem, the British telephone regulator, definition of the technology. The Advertising Standards Authority has upheld a complaint against NTL for calling its 128kbps internet access service a high-speed broadband product, a ruling that has left the cable firm furious. The ASA announced on Wednesday that NTL was wrong to use the word broadband without qualification to describe the 128kbps product because, according to the ASA, most consumers would think that broadband means a service of 500kbps or faster. In future, the ASA wants NTL and any other company that offers an always-on internet access product of less than 500kbps to include a prominent reference to the speed of the service in the advertisements. In its defence, NTL had shown that Ofgem defines broadband as higher bandwidth always-on services offering data rates of 128kbps and above. The majority of broadband connections in the UK are 512kbps or faster. The consumer ADSL service offered by BT, British Telecom, and resold to ISPs is 512kbps. NTL also sells a 600kbps and a 1 Mbps broadband service, while Telewest offers a 512kbps and a 1 Mbps service. NTL also recently raised the speed of the 128 product to 150kbps. By basing its ruling on what it believes consumers understand broadband to be, rather than on Ofgem's definition, the ASA may force other telcos to change the marketing of their products. BT is set to launch a 256kbps internet access product later this year, but so far, The telco has only described the forthcoming service as a consumer ADSL service rather than a broadband one. The ruling also brings further controversy to the ongoing debate over exactly what can be called broadband. It was reported last month that the British government has changed its definition of broadband to a generic term describing a range of technologies operating at various data transfer speeds, a move slammed in some quarters as meaning that anything marketed as broadband counted as broadband in official eyes. AOL Time Warner has asked federal regulators in the United States to lift a condition placed on the 2001 merger that created the media conglomerate, saying it's hampering AOL's push into broadband services. Under the Federal Communications Commission conditions, America Online couldn't offer advanced instant messaging features, particularly video conferencing, until its IM service was interoperable with rival IM services. Regulators feared that AOL would fuse its dominance in instant messaging with Time Warner's high-speed broadband lines to shut out competitors in the emerging market for video-based instant messaging. The FCC allowed AOL to seek relief from the condition by showing it no longer serves the public interest or there has been a material change in circumstances. In its FCC filing, AOL asserts that it has not been the dominant instant messaging provider for four consecutive months, a criteria set by the Commission. In that period, AOL has snared 58.5% of instant messaging users, while Microsoft has averaged 22.2% and Yahoo just 19.3%, says Score Media Matrix. But Microsoft's user base jumped 10% and Yahoo's by 4%, while AOL's declined by 2%. The FCC condition was largely designed to spur AOL to allow its users to communicate with users of other IM products. Critics said that AOL refused to permit such interoperability to keep IM dominance. But AOL said last year it was dropping true server-to-server interoperability for technical and other problems. Instead, it would try to forge makeshift systems, letting rival IM users communicate on AOL's network. Also, many IM users now use multiple services to talk to each other. In its filing, AOL also asks the FCC to drop requirements that it report its progress on interoperability every 6 months. Yet Mark Cooper of the Consumer Federation of America says granting AOL's request would remove the only regulatory incentive on AOL to open its IM system. Walt Disney Company, fearing digital thieves will steal its movies if it doesn't find a legal way for consumers to download and watch them, will launch a trial this US autumn of technology that stores films on set-top boxes, the media conglomerate said on Monday. MovieBeam, as the service is called, will debut in Salt Lake City and a few other locations this autumn, and Disney will offer it directly to consumers, the company said. The set-top box will store 100 movies, adding 10 new ones from Disney each week, using existing analog and digital over-the-air broadcast technology. March was another bumper month for spam, with the latest figures revealing a continued increase in the amount of unsolicited email traffic. Anti-spam firm Brightmail recorded a 4% month-on-month increase in the amount of spam detected by its probe network. More alarmingly, compared to the same month last year, the amount of spam detected has almost doubled. The most common spam can best be described as the usual suspects, with porn, scams, financial services, and product offers such as natural Viagra or weight loss pills all featuring heavily. According to Brightmail's figures, the most common scam is the notorious and typically Nigerian-based 419 con, where recipients are offered a share of an unclaimed fortune. Pyramid schemes and chain letters are still going strong as well. Anybody using a Hotmail or similar email account would doubtless add the sale of trumped-up degrees and qualifications to that list. In total, scams and other financial offers, such as the grey area of low-interest loans and mortgages, accounts for 27% of all spam, 10% scams, 17% financial offers. Adult spam, such as solicitations to visit porn sites or advertisements for premium-rate telephone numbers, accounts for 19% of all spam. Product advertising counts for a further 19%, rising to 23% when you factor in the separate category of medical products such as miracle pills and potions. And finally, Yahoo has rolled out a souped-up search engine in a bid to supplant its business partner Google as the most popular place to find things on the internet. With the revisions, Yahoo believes its search engine will provide more useful information than Google's and be simpler to use. The rebuilt version combines Google's index with Yahoo's customized services, spanning sports, driving directions, and weather reports. Google declined to comment on Yahoo's new search engine. Battle lines clearly are being drawn between the companies, said Danny Sullivan, editor of industry newsletter Search Engine Watch. Toppling Google won't be easy. In just 5 years, Google has become synonymous with online searching. Yahoo played a vital role in Google's rise. After encouraging Google to create its search engine, Yahoo raised the startup's profile nearly 3 years ago by licensing Google's software to run the searches on its popular online portal. According to the industry newsletter, Google handles an average of 112 million searches a day, and Yahoo handles about 42 million. Most of Yahoo's results are generated by Google software. With its success, Google has introduced other services, such as news and shopping pages, that traverse Yahoo's turf. To lessen its dependence on Google, Yahoo last month bought search engine specialist Inktomi for $279.5 million. Yahoo plans to incorporate Inktomi's tools into its search engine by year's end. Success has also thrust privately held Google into the crosshairs of Microsoft, which last week said it had improved its online prowess. And that's news briefs for this week.